Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 8, day 2 of our study of Joshua. I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs, and today we're talking about Joshua 18, 11 through 28. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. Again, I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us? Fascinate us with your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we jump into this, I try to do this every so often as we go through the podcast. If you're new, if you're just joining us, I just want to say I always read from the NIV. And the reason I do that is because I've read from a lot of different things over the years. And the only reason I read from the NIV on this podcast is it gets me less tongue-tied than anything else I've used. New King James, anything else in the English language, I just get more tongue-tied. And so NIV is the thing that's easiest for me at the moment to read on air. There's no other reason besides that. I think the NIV is a fine translation. I think there's some flaws in it and there's some benefits to it. People over the years have made a lot about the updates to the NIV and some of the criticisms of the updates I agree with. Sometimes I rarely, but sometimes I point them out. I am not a biblical or a scholar in Greek or Hebrew. And so anytime I do disagree, I try to do it with some bit of deference to the education and work that people have put into these things. But the reason I'm bringing this up is I want to encourage you as you go through the 10-week Bible studies that we do here on the air, I encourage you to read them 10 times in 10 weeks. And in doing so, it's actually the perfect opportunity to switch up, read it twice or three times in the NIV, read it a couple times in the New King James, read it in the New Living Translation, read it in something else, read it in the King James, you know, switch back and forth. If you have access to multiple paper Bibles and you want to do that, great. The Bible app, right? Have my phone right here on the Bible app. You have for free pretty much every translation in the English language imaginable. Even several of them, you can have them read to you, which is another very good, valid way to have it to do this is to have, you know, listen to the Bible as you're driving in the car. I encourage people, if you're listening to this on the commute, you know, listen to the podcast in the morning and the Bible in the afternoon commute or vice versa, however you want to do it. I think it's a great way to just get it in you over and over again. So I just like to say that every now and again. I don't have some huge tie to the NIV. Again, I think it's a fine translation. I think it's a good translation, but it's not the best translation. I don't know that there is such a thing. I don't know that it's the one that I'll always use, but it's the one I'm using now just because, as you've seen already, if you've been with us during this Joshua study, and as you'll see again probably today, there's lots of things in the Bible that want to get my tongue in knots. And even in the NIV, things like today, it's going to do that. But the NIV, at least on air, does the best for me at keeping me not tongue-tied too much. All right, with that, let's jump into God's Word. Reading from the NIV, this is Joshua 18, starting in verse 11. The first lot came up for the tribe of Benjamin, according to its clans. Their allotted territory lay between the tribes of Judah and Joseph. On the north side, their boundary began at the Jordan, past the northern slope of Jericho, and headed west into the hill country, coming out at the wilderness of Beth Avon. From there it crossed to the south slope of Luz, that is Bethel, and went down to Ataroth Adar in the hill south of lower Beth Horon. From the hill facing Beth Horon on the south of the boundary, turned south along the western side and came out at Kiriath Baal, that is Kiriath Jearim, a town of the people of Judah. This was the western side. And I like the story. I believe the story is in Judges, but I've been reading Joshua and Judges together a lot over this time period. And so it all starts to roll together in my mind as I'm doing this. But let's just take the narrative as a whole. This, the town of Luz, the story of the town of Luz, I like it, is they did something similar to Jericho with Rahab. They came in, the spies kind of saw a guy walking out and they're like, hey, you there, we're about to destroy this city. If you and your family would like to live, tell us the easiest way to get into the town so we can kill everyone else besides you and your family. Otherwise we'll kill you and everyone else too anyway. And so the guy's like, given those options, I'll tell you how to get into the city. And he does. They destroy the city. They take the city, kill lots of people, spare he and his family. He ends up moving away. Like, they let him live like they promised, but he ends up moving away out of Israelite territory, and he starts another town called Luz because they renamed Luz Bethel. All right, continue on verse 15. The southern side began at the outskirts of Kiriath-Jearim on the west, and the boundary came out at the spring of the water of Nephtoah. The boundaries went down to the foot of the hill facing the valley of Ben-Hinnom, north of the valley of Rephaim. It continued down the Hinnom Valley along the southern slope of the Jebusite city, and so to En-Rogel. The Jebusite city, if you're keeping up with this, is Jerusalem. Anytime they say the Jebusite city or the city of Jebus, that's synonymous with Jerusalem. Verse 17. It then curved north, went to En-Shemesh, continued to Geliloth, which faces the pass of Adummim. I promise I've practiced these over and over, and it's when you do them in rapid succession, it gets to you. So it faces the pass of Adummim and ran down to the stone of Bohem, south of Reuben. Verse 18. It continued to the northern slope of Beth Araba and on down to into the Araba. It then continued and then went into the northern slope of Beth Hogla and came out at the northern bay of the Dead Sea at the mouth of the Jordan in the south. This was the southern boundary. The Jordan formed the boundary on the eastern side. These were the boundaries that marked out the inheritance of the clans of the Benjamin on all sides. All right, to the map we go. Let's take a look at the map here. Find my pencil. We're talking about Benjamin. Relatively small geographic area, but there's a lot happening in that small geographic area. It's very mountainous, very hilly. This is where Jerusalem is, the Jebusite city. This is essentially, even though this is small geographically, this is going to become one of the most important places in all Israel, is the tribe of Benjamin. We know that the first king of Israel comes from the tribe of Benjamin. Another thing that we know from the first chapter of Judges, I think it's Judges 1, might be Judges 2, is that after Joshua dies, the people of Israel, they do go and take the Jebusite city. They do go and take Jerusalem. But we know that they don't hold it. We know that it returns to the Jebusites. And so there's again, I've said multiple times in the study that there's a lot of dynamic back and forth going on with these places, these regions, with the cities in these regions, within the clans. And so this is, I'm just saying that as we're reading through this, as you read through the book of Joshua, and if you go back through the book of Judges, we've already done a podcast, a broadcast on the book of Judges in the past. You can go find that in the archives at 10weekbible.com. But if you look at both of those books together, there really are kind of one narrative. Some people consider the book of Joshua really the sixth book of the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible. Some people kind of consider it the sixth book of that, which it has some aspects of that. I actually consider it kind of the first book of the narrative of the storyline of Israel as they take it. And so I consider that kind of the first book of history. A lot of people do consider it that. So it's, in my opinion, it's like Joshua through the end of the books of Chronicles. And those are kind of a narrative history of the Israelites taking the land, subduing the land, living the land, losing the land, gaining the land, losing. So it's all very dynamic. But that's human nature, right? That's true of any nation. If you're to chronicle their history, there's going to be wins and losses, back and forth, all that kind of stuff. And so I think some people, if they've never read through this before, they may have a misconception that Israel is this monolithic nation that always was, always is, always will be. and that it's never changed or whatever. And that's not really true when we look at it in the Bible, is it was a struggle and it took time. And even when they finally, under David and Solomon, conquered everything that the Lord had promised, they only held it for a short period of time before they lost it again and had civil war and split up and all of these different things. And so there's no clean part of Israel's history. I think that's the important thing for us to understand and remember. There is no perfect, clean part of Israel's history. Now, in my opinion, according to scripture, there will be, but it will be when the promised Messiah, the king who's going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem and reign there forever, the untainted history of Israel will be when he sits on the throne and his name is Jesus. He came once and he's coming back again. That is the great hope of every Christian, is that he's coming back. I want to say, so throughout history, for centuries at least, Christians have called the return of Jesus our great hope. It's not actually, I would say that our great hope is not that he's going to save us from our sins. He already did that. All we have to do is accept that. That's not hope. That's actually just accepting what he's given to us, in my opinion. I mean, you can say that you have hope in that, and that gives you hope. That's fine. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not debating that necessarily. But the thing that we long for, the thing that we hope for, the thing that we wait for, the thing that we pray for and yearn for is the return of Jesus. Because he is going to come and he is going to usher in perfect justice and perfect peace as he rules and reigns on the throne of the city, the real city of Jerusalem, forever and forever. And it is something that we find here in this passage. All right, with that, let us continue reading verse 20. The Jordan formed the boundary on the eastern side. These were the boundaries that marked out the inheritance of the clans of Benjamin on all sides. The tribe of Benjamin, according to its clans, had the following towns: Jericho, Beth Hogla, Emek, Keziz, Beth Arabah, Zimraim, Bethel, Avim, Para, Ophrah, Kephar, Ammoni, Ophni, and Geba, 12 towns and their villages. Gibeon, Ramah, Beeroth, Mitzpah, Kephirah, Mozah, Rechem, Irpeel, Taralah, Zelah, Haleph, the Jebusite city, that is Jerusalem. Again, now the Bible is pointing that out. Gibeah and Kiriath, 14 towns and their villages. This was the inheritance of Benjamin for its clans. All right, let's look at the map again. Again, tenweekbible.com/Joshua, and I've already got Benjamin circled. This is what we're working with. And again, I'm giving you literally, I think, the 50,000 foot view of this. So I'm not pointing out all of these towns, partly because we don't, as we go through all of this, we don't know where every single one of them are. And I just don't know that it's all that helpful to cram all of these little dots on here for the sake of this. And also it's a lot of work for me to put all those little dots on there for copyright reasons. I can't just steal someone else's map. So if you look at my map, it is actually an amalgamation of a lot of maps, some scriptural cues. I know that I've even screwed up some places in the maps, but this is to give us an overall sense. The book of Joshua is a very geographically based book, and I think having the maps is actually super helpful in understanding what's going on here. Even Joshua sent out people to map the land, so knowing the map is actually quite important while studying the book of Joshua. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-week Bible study podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.